The gospel this morning is from the 10th chapter of Luke. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him. And when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" Jesus asked. He said, "The one who showed mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is the gospel of our Lord. Well, grace and peace to you from our creating and saving God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. The second reading, Colossians, is the perfect way that I want to start talking with you this morning. To the saints and faithful sisters and brothers of Christ, in our prayers, we always give thanks to God for you. For we have heard of your faith and the love that you have in this community. You see, I come on Wednesdays to text study here. I know of your congregation. I know the good that you do. I know the love that you have for neighbors. I know that you're connected with the school across the street and you have a community garden and you do many, many loving things in this community and as far off places as Tanzania. We thank God for each other because we are a part of the wider church. We are a part of churches beyond Christian faith. We are a part of faith communities that worship in temples and in synagogues. We are all people of faith working together and sometimes apart, but for the love of God, because of the love of God. So, if you will, this is going to take courage. If you will slip your shoes off. Now, I know some of you are thinking, "Oh no, I have holes in my socks. I don't want to do that." And, you know, "Oh, my feet might be stinky. What if they are? And my neighbor's going to know." And but I ask that you humor me. Slip your shoes off for a moment. I will slip mine off. I might have socks that have holes in them too. My big toes usually make a hole. Yep, there's a run right now. Okay. So, the next bold step. Move your shoes to the next person over. Oh, no. what are we talking about? This is terrible. Why do we have to do this stupid thing? Thank you. Okay, the next step is even bolder and more courageous. Oh my goodness. The shoes might be too small, they might be too big, they might be worn out, they might be brand new, they might be stiff, they might be flexible. And I know there's a little boy in here that's wearing bear shoes, or he takes them off, the one who came up here and was barefoot. I saw him wear bear paws into the... So anyway, go ahead and try to slip your foot into that other person's shoes. Do we have to? Isn't this crazy? Okay. It didn't last long. You can take them off now. And if you weren't able to fit in them, that's all right. But I want to hear, thank you. I want to hear from you what that felt like. What just happened and how did that feel? Just throw out some creepy. Somebody said it feels creepy. Yes. Pardon me? You felt rejected. Yes, because somebody didn't want you to try those on. Great. What else? Back to age four, it felt like trying on your dad's shoes, all right? Somebody else yelled something. They fit perfectly. Wow, isn't that great? Yeah, so there's all sorts of feelings from comfort and discomfort involved in trying on another person's shoes. Understanding their life, that's what the sermon's about. That's what the Good Samaritan's about. That's what Jesus is about. That's what God is about. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And the funny thing is, sometimes, like before you came today, did you even have a thought about wearing literally the person you're going to sit next to, their shoes? Did you ever think about it? You know, if we did, you know, we would have put on fancy socks and this kind of thing. No. Sometimes we don't know that we even are going to or need to put on another person's pair of shoes. One of the reasons, the main reason why I'm not wearing a white robe today is I learned a perspective of one individual. He was an African-American man who spoke to a Lutheran pastor who was wearing a white robe after worshiping in a community, a Lutheran community, which was mostly white, which is most Lutheran congregations. And he said, "Pastor, you've got to understand something. Seeing white leader in a white robe in front of us and gathering us around in a white robe somehow might not build trust within worship." The Ku Klux Klan white robe connotation might have been blind to all of us before, but that man spoke the truth for him, and it made me see differently. And after what is happening over and over and over again in our society, I'm thinking about What we as a Lutheran church, a white church, who basically prays for a white God is the exact words of the African-American pastor who attended the ELCA worship service a couple days ago, lamenting all those who died. He said, "Oh God, you have heard the prayers of white people in a white church praying to their white God. Now please hear the prayers of your African-American people praying to you." I encourage you to go to the ELC website to worship as you listen and see the video. I'm not dissing it. It is an important part of what we do, to walk with others in pain, and that's what it was, a gathering. Let us gather and worship God and lament before God humanity's inhumanity to humanity. That's what it was about. But there are tensions in there, and we can learn from looking at that video. I saw some people's eyes roll while the Lord's Prayer was being prayed. I'm asking, what can we learn from that? Maybe to this African-American woman who rolled her eyes in that video was feeling like, here we go again, the white church praying to their white God in their white rote prayer, and then everything will go back to normal. We are asked to walk in another person's shoes, to open our eyes to the truth that we may not know. Because sometimes it's really hard to walk in another person's shoes. I was privileged to go to Palestinian territories and to Israel a few years ago with Churches for Middle East Peace. And one of the groups that we met with was called the Parents Family Circle. And it is a group of about 600 people, 300 Jewish people and 300 Palestinian peoples. And just like the Samaritans and the Jewish people in the past, in this gospel reading, the Good Samaritan, Jesus has the Samaritan be the one who is the helper of the wounded one in the ditch. Just like that, today, this group, the Palestinian and the Israeli group, formed because every single one there lost a son or a daughter to the fighting that has been going ongoing in the past several years. They came together. They are enemies of one another. You know that. Most Palestinians haven't met a Jewish person, and most Jewish people haven't met a Palestinian there. They're afraid. This cross-cultural communication is difficult. It's hard to walk in each other's shoes. But when their grief happened because of losing a daughter or a son, they said, "No more are we going to let our children keep dying in vain. Let us come together and do something." It's a small grassroots project. They now go into the schools. They encourage the children to meet one another, Jewish children as well as Palestinian children. There is reconciling movement going on within that organization. One of their most moving projects, in their words, again, I encourage you to go to a website and look up what's called the Blood Donation Project. Israeli and Palestinians. The Blood Donation Project, it's an 8 to 10 minute video. It tells you, it shows you about what it is. They spoke about how they set it up so that people came together to donate blood, table next to table, Israeli holding a hand with a Palestinian across the tables as they both donated blood. And the blood donation goes to anyone in need from the conflict. And their motto and their goal says, how can you hurt somebody whose blood contains your blood inside of them? It's this project that shows that we all have the same blood inside of us. What if in our local communities we had police officers and African-American males donating blood side by side for the purpose of peace, for the purpose of relationship building? What if we had Republicans and Democrats in Congress lay side by side? Go ahead, put the donation tables right in the middle of the congressional space. But a Democrat and a Republican, have them hold hands as their blood goes into the same containers. What if Christian and Muslim and Buddhist and Jewish people, what if people who never would step into a church? What if fundamental Christians or evangelical Christians held hands with a Lutheran and donated blood for the peace of the world and the church? For loving God's neighbor that we've been given. What if we're willing to open our eyes and learn? You know, I have had in the past some trouble when I think about somebody coming to me for help, or I seeing this new friend that I have whose last name I don't even know, and he had to ask me again, what is your first name again? We've just starting to get to know each other. When we go to the post office, he's there every day. And he has a can, and people donate to him every day. He considers it his work. And at first I was like, okay, yeah, you know. And then I thought, you know, well, what am I teaching him by doing this? I don't know. Am I reinforcing his begging? What is... And then, click! I'm the one being taught how to be generous, how to open my eyes and learn something new every single time I see this man in need. God is still working on me, still helping me to see when I am blind. Let us all pray that we can be listeners to truth tellers and listeners to people who don't tell the truth. One of the funny things that this man said to me, the first time I met him is, you know, he said, can I have some money for lunch? I said, absolutely, better yet, I'm going to take you to lunch. Where would you like to go? And he said, no, that's okay. I'll just take the money. No, really, I want to take you to lunch. No, just give me the money. No, my husband's over there at the barber shop. He's right across the street. He'll be done in 5 minutes. Let's go. You know, where do you like to eat? And then he said, where? And it was just on the street. And I said, let's go there. And then he started laughing and he said, no, I've already eaten. I just tell people that. And so then I laughed with him. And I'm learning what a wonderful person he is. And that, yeah, sometimes we're going to be manipulated. And that's okay. That's okay. How do we be a good neighbor? I'm still learning. I pray that we all keep learning. Thank you for being shoe wearers, cross bearers, good news movers in this community and beyond. You are good and faithful stewards, people of God. Amen.